The reading this morning is from Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. If you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bibles, you'll find it on page 880. Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Thank you. It's good to be with you. You may want to keep that Bible passage open in front of you. It may not be as familiar as some of the passages that we look at Sunday by Sunday, and it'll be helpful to me if you've got that in front of your eyes, if you can. But before we look into it, let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you've spoken to us this morning as your word was read. We pray, Father, that you'd give us hearts and minds that are able to understand what you have said, and that you'd give us lives which are quick to respond. Shape us and fashion us in the likeness of the Lord Jesus, we pray this morning. We ask it in his name. Amen. Well, it's begun. It started. The Advent calendars may not be open until Thursday, but Advent starts here on Advent Sunday. And we're into this special time of the Christian year, a time of waiting and looking ahead. We're waiting and looking ahead, of course, to Christmas, to celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, God come to be here with us. And Christmas is about the joy that that brings. But Advent is about longing for that joy. You know, it isn't really here yet. You can't open the presents yet. You can't eat the turkey yet. It's not the end of term. It's not the end of work yet. So much has to happen before then. And I'm looking around at the church wardens and seeing the look on their face and thinking, yes, so much has to happen in the next month. If Christmas is about the light coming in, Advent is about waiting in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and that means he brings goodness and truth and reality and hope and life. Advent is about being realistic about the fact that we live in a world which is full of wickedness and lies and pretense and despair and death. And we have to be honest about that. Life is often dark and difficult in so many ways. And it's important that church isn't the place where we just pretend that that's not the case. This is where we bring our real lives, our real sadnesses, where we think about the real situation of the world beyond these walls. And we bring those struggles before God and honestly with each other. That's what church should be like. It's not a place to put your happiest face on and pretend that you are okay when you're not. It's not a place to come and think, well, we're okay, and we will close our ears and our eyes to the pain of the world around us. But as we do this, as we face up to the evil and brokenness in our world and in our own lives, so our longing grows for all of that to be dealt with fully and finally, for it to go. Yet as Christians, it's right that we should be able to look the present evil of the world squarely in the face, but at the same time, we fix our hope on the future, when God will bring evil and suffering to an end forever. We wait conscious of the darkness, but we are longing for that light. And that's why we've called our Advent series this year, Christ is Coming. Next week we'll have our Together at 10 service here at 10 o'clock. But this week and in the two Sundays immediately before Sunday, before Christmas, we're going to be looking at passages from the Bible that are about waiting and looking ahead to see Christ coming. Because as we'll see, He, Jesus Christ, and He alone is God's answer to the evil and the suffering in our world. And today we're going to start with this passage from the book of Micah on page 880. And some of the verses in this passage may well be familiar, but the book as a whole, for many of us, won't be. And so we need to think ourselves back to a time 700 or more years before that first Christmas, before the birth of Jesus Christ. And if that sounds a little bit distant and a bit hard to get your head into on a grey Sunday morning, think about it like this. Micah, as you read through his book, it becomes clear he's speaking to a culture which is rife with corruption. It's a time and place where the economically powerful prey on the poor and those who are less savvy, less able to defend themselves. It's a culture which has turned from worship of God and put a watered-down, self-centered religion in its place. It's a world that's lost its way, that can no longer agree on what is right and true and good and what isn't. It's a world that refuses to let God decide those things. It's a world that exploits people, women and children in particular. It's a world that lives under the constant shadow of violence. That's Micah's world. If you've got a bit of time this afternoon, pick up the book and read through and you'll see that is the world that Micah speaks to. But while you're doing that, pick up any newspaper, open any news website, and you'll see that we live in a world very much like Micah's. Sooner or later, some of that is going to come close to home for us. Sooner or later, if we live in a world that is so shot through with evil and the rejection of God, then we will suffer for it. And if we're honest, one way or another, sooner or later, we will be the reason for someone else's suffering. That's the world Micah speaks to. And you can see that his world and our world are not so far apart. But it always comes, this evil and brokenness always comes in particular ways. Just have a look, if you've got it open in front of you, at verse 1. He says, "Now you are walled around with a wall. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek." On top of all the other social ills that Micah has listed already in his book, now we see he's speaking to a people who are fighting a war and losing it. And the evil and brokenness of the world doesn't get much more blatant and unavoidable than that. They are in desperate trouble. They are on the edge of destruction. But, do you hear that note of hope at the start of verse 2? All of this is going on. All of this is happening. We are under siege. We are on the edge of war. But God is speaking to his people through Micah to tell them that he's not going to abandon them. He's not going to leave them to their fate. He's not going to leave them to the evil that they have done and that has been done to them. God is going to intervene. And he's going to bring their problems to an end. Listen, excuse me, to verses 2 and 4. "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." And then in verse 4, "And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. You see, God's solution to the problems of evil in the world is to send his king, is to send his ruler to shepherd his people and bring peace from one end of the world to the other. That was the hope of God's people 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. In the words he speaks through Micah, God diagnoses the evil and the brokenness of the world, and he promises that he will end it. And he'll do that by sending his ruler to be a shepherd, watching over his people, providing for them, leading them, and keeping them safe. And if you were to read on in Micah's book, right to the end, in chapter 7, you will hear the prophet himself crying, God, let you be our shepherd. Come and be the shepherd of your people. And so Micah paints out for us the need of the world, that brokenness and evil of which we are all a part, one way or another. The cry of God's people, do something about this, come and shepherd us. And God's promise, I will send my ruler, and he will shepherd you. And so we fast forward 700 years or more, and you come to John chapter 10. And there is Jesus. And he is the fulfillment of God's promise. In John 10, Jesus declares that he is this good shepherd. He is God amongst his people as their shepherd, just as Micah longed for, just as God promised. Jesus is the one who will rule as God's king for God's people, who will care for them, look after them, and provide them with what they need most. But there's a shock. Because the good shepherd will do these things for his sheep by laying down his life for them. This king is going to reign and rule from a cross. See, Micah's world is full of people who lay down the lives of others for themselves. The rich sacrifice the poor. The invader destroys the conquered. The liars silence those who speak truth. Micah's world is full of this. Our world is full of this. And sooner or later, in big ways or small, we too sacrifice the good of others at the altar of our own desires, our own convenience. But Jesus is exactly the opposite. He sacrifices himself for us, to rescue us, to redeem us, to win us forgiveness, and make us ready and fit for that restored and healed world that he will one day bring. You see, sheep, I'm sorry to break this to you, but you look at sheep on a farm, they're destined for slaughter. But this shepherd dies so that the sheep don't have to. And as Micah prophesies, by doing that, this shepherd feeds his flocks. In other words, he gives us what we need for life. It's the death of Jesus that brings us real and everlasting life. And Micah says that because of this shepherd ruler, his people will live secure. And we are. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus, you are secure. It doesn't mean that you will not suffer. There is no promise against illness or sadness or breakup in any part of your life. There's no promise against death. But there is a promise that Jesus will never, ever let you go. And that whatever comes in between, ultimately you will be secure with him in a remade world forever. And Micah says that this shepherd will be the one who brings peace. And he is. By his death, Jesus has reconciled us to God. He's made peace between sinners like us and a holy God. And by joining each of us together as members of his body, Jesus has made peace between us as well. But although these things are true, we know, don't we, from our daily experience, and we know if we're honest from looking at the Bible, that we are still waiting for these things to be fully and finally worked out. We still live with the reality of death. We still suffer in body and mind. And even as Christians, we still wander away from God. We don't always live as we should. And although Christ has united us, Christians still fall out and fight with each other. We wound each other in church after church. But God has promised to end all evil and brokenness. And he's promised to do that through his Shepherd King. And that Shepherd King has come, and he's made all of it possible through his death on the cross. But we are still waiting. Only now we are waiting for him to return. And when he does, all that he achieved in his first coming will be enacted and applied in his second coming. It's guaranteed. But for now, as Advent reminds us, we are in the time of waiting and looking ahead. And so we need to fix our ultimate hopes not on a political leader, not on a party, not on a humanitarian project, not on winning a cultural war, not on a general sense of human progress, however important or good some of these things might be, but our hope must be fixed on Jesus Christ, on God's promised Shepherd King, on his return. And so as you look ahead, as you look ahead to Christmas, as you cross the things off your list, as you get yourself increasingly prepared and either increasingly excited or increasingly irritated, depending on how Christmas strikes you, as you do all those things, just remember, lift your eyes a little higher still and look for this too. Because Christ is coming. Amen.